Well, hello, how you doing, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your Tuesday morning right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Glad you're along for this 13th day of April 2021. No, the gang's not all here. Simmer's off this week, so it's JR and Hammer for hour one, and then Ian Mendez will rejoin us between 7 and 9 this morning from his palatial Barhaven Estates. You know, I'll be quite honest with you. I've never been to Ian's place. So you share a suburb with him. Have you been to his house?
Yeah, Barhaven's grown quite a bit. Uh-huh. So he's ways away from me, but uh-huh. I have been there.
Okay.
And it is palatial.
Palatial estate.
It is a beautiful, beautiful family home. Yeah.
Does he have people?
No, he does not have any help.
No, okay.
There's no people.
I just wondered.
Does anybody have people?
If you say palatial, usually that comes with like servants. I'll be quite honest with you. So I'm just throwing it out there. I don't have any idea. Ian's a good man, but I wouldn't think so.
No, that's a hands-on family right there. They're getting down and dirty together. They're taking
care
of business.
That's right. Anyway, speaking of that. You tweeted out a picture last night on your walk of.
This was not my place, because I think some of the good listeners may have thought that this was my place.
Yeah.
This was not. This was just a newfound turf.
This goes back to a discussion point yesterday, I believe, where both you and Ian were championing the idea of
it's awesome
AstroTurf instead of a lawn, because there's some guy around the corner from you that has done this, and you are quite smitten with how it looks.
And I'm going to tweet that out today. I'm going to go do a little sneak by, a little drive by with the old camera, because I don't want to be too obvious.
Gonna be a stalker?
Exactly. Like, what are you doing? Why are you taking a picture of my lawn? Are you going to make fun of it? No, I admire it.
Okay.
And I want it.
So the one you took yesterday, that you sent out yesterday, was of a little piece of AstroTurf, but a lot of stone.
A lot of stone.
Of river stone, as they call it.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, Mark Mathod is weighing in on it, going, God, that looks good. He goes, I think he tweeted and said, all I got in my lawn out in Manotick is dog pee stains and what, tracks from guys that ran off the road onto his lawn in the winter?
Donuts.
Yeah. So, listen, you're talking people into it, I guess.
And then everybody was stepping up to it, too. Like, I'll find you some river rock. I'll find you some turf.
Yeah, I saw
whatever
that.
Whatever you need.
Guys in the river rock business.
I just bought a bunch of river rock, for crying out loud.
Too late. You paid full retail. Could have got the TSN 1200 listener discount.
That's okay. As long as we're taking care of local, that's all that matters.
Yes.
But,
that's what you're all about. Yeah. Making sure you pay full freight.
What? What are you alluding to there?
Yeah. Anyway, so this place you tweeted out yesterday, you even like it better than AstroTurf Boy around the corner?
No. AstroTurf Boy is better. Because, this one just looks like a little oasis. I think somebody compared it to a putting green, which is what it looks like, a miniature putting green.
Yeah.
The guy that I'm going to tweet out a photo of today, it's full-on front lawn. It is full turf.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll do one from a little ways away, and then I'll get in close. So you can see from a distance, it looks really nice.
I'm a grass man. You're never going to talk to me. I don't care how good it looks.
So much care. So much.
Absolutely. I'm a Johnny Suburbs man.
And you get your heart broken every year because you can't keep up with it.
I got to say, by the way, that our good corporate partners at Bell put in a new... some kind of fiber optic line or something in our neighborhood. Have they done this in your neighborhood?
That's fantastic. Yes,
it is. So it's good. But they kind of every few properties they have to kind of create, I guess, some sort of junction box or something in the lawn. And so myself and our neighbor, I guess, were quite fortunate that we got the big one, which covers I don't know. It looks like it's about 30 inches long by about 2 feet. It's a big. So I
let. Do you want high speed internet?
Listen,
lightning fast.
I'm more than happy with it. But if that, I'm okay. My point being, and the next time they're by, because they haven't hooked it up yet. The next time they're by, I'm gonna ask the guy, like, now that you've created the box, can I seed the lawn over top of it? Like, are you gonna need to get in there at any point, or is it just this is it, and I'll hook it up, and only if there's something wrong, am I gonna have to dig it up? Because I want to grow grass over that. Because it's not. You know, I take pride in my lawn, man.
You want to, so you can grow. So it's not a big box. It's not huge.
No, it's about 3 feet by 2 feet, though. It's one of the bigger ones. There's small ones, and this is one of the bigger ones.
And you want to grow grass over top of it.
Exactly.
You want to cover it with dirt.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea.
That's what growing grass is.
Yeah.
You put dirt down, and then you put grass seed, and then grass grows.
I don't think you want to do that because they're definitely going to need access to that box.
Are they?
What you're going to need to do is just come up with a nice, like a pretty little fence or something.
Yeah.
So something that just aesthetically pleasing to the eye.
I don't think, listen, I rely on you for a lot of technical advice, okay? I don't think you know. I think you're talking out of your backside. I think there's some Bell 5 hookup guy that's listening right now that can set me straight. If I need to leave that box uncovered, I'll leave it uncovered, but I'm going to leave it to the expert. I'm not going to take your advice on this.
If you thought that they did not need to have access to it, why not put it directly in the ground then and cover it?
Because they're still hooking it up. They still need access to it to hook it up. They haven't hooked it up yet. They just did the thingamajiggy.
So then
that's a technical term, by the way, that only the chosen few of us recognize, the thingamajiggy.
But then you're saying already that they're going to need access to it. It's going to
hook
get
it up,
there.
To finally hook it up. But once it's hooked up, it's
well,
all good.
Well, then get it into the ground after that. Dig her down. Dig her deep.
Well, anyway.
And cover it up. And then you can put a nice chunk of sod down.
Okay.
You don't even need to grow the grass.
I'm good with that.
You can get right at it right there.
Well, today will be a somewhat good grass growing day, by the way. Although we could use some rain. Not going to rain today. It's going to be cloudy. 20 degrees, though, will be the high, which is about 10 degrees above normal. The temperature, though, is taking a bit of a dip. I think we had said this week it was going to be much warmer throughout the entire week. Now it looks like not as much. Tomorrow, mix of sun and clouds, 18, not bad. But then Thursday, showers and 10. So that's more normal for this time of year. I'll remind everyone that Thursday will be April 15th. It's the middle of April. So having a day of showers and 10 degrees is actually not that bad.
Is that's anybody kind of complaining? I'm not complaining. The farmers need a little. I don't mind going a little 50-50. Give me like 4 days of nice weather. Give me 3 days of rain during the spring.
Okay.
In the summertime, I can go a little bit less, but if you're going to rain at night, well, so you're not ruining any of your daytime plans.
Exactly. Your baseball, my golf. If we can just have,
thinking of everybody here.
It should just rain overnight. Like, you know, whatever, if you believe in a god of some sort, you know, you should pray to the rain gods just overnight. If you don't believe in God, you're an atheist, that's fine as well. Just ask for rain. All right? Just do something. Anyway, that is the forecast for today. Were you enamored with trade deadline day yesterday?
Not at all.
Yeah, no, me
no,
either.
No, but I don't think anybody had any expectations that it was going to be a jaw-dropping event, especially after all the big deals that happened on Sunday and overnight into Monday. I had absolutely zero expectations. I'll be completely honest. I am kind of surprised that Eric Gabranson got traded. I'm surprised that he wanted to get traded.
I lost a beer on that. I met AJ as I was walking out yesterday afternoon. And at that point, he hadn't been traded.
He had some inside info then.
I think so. He must have, because he fished me in. I said, I think they're going to trade Gabranson. I said, okay, I'll bet you a beer on that one. Whenever we get back in a bar someday, and I get home and I turn my phone back on, it's like Eric Gabranson got traded. Of course he did. So now I owe AJ a beer.
Well, he just had their first child, so you're thinking he wants to stay at home. And then he
wants to make the playoffs.
But to the Nashville Predators? I understand that they've caught some fire here, and there's a few birds tweeting that, hey, it's the Blues of 2019.
There aren't a lot of people beating down the door for Eric Gabranson, okay?
No, exactly. But so then why not just stay at home? Stay at home. Stay with your family. Is he guaranteed to play in the playoffs for the Nashville Predators? I'm not too sure. But I really kind of thought I was completely, well, as minor of a deal as it was, I was kind of surprised that he got dealt.
Well, at the end of the day, they traded for a seventh-round pick in 2023. So not this year's draft.
Supposed to be a deep draft.
Not next year's draft, but the year after that, a seventh-rounder. Like, I'm thinking about that right now. Like, the kid that the Sens will draft with that draft pick is, what, 15 years old right now?
So maybe entering a rookie season in the OHL next year, WHL minor hockey,
something
thinking
like
college.
That. Yeah, right now, what he's most concerned about is not hockey, it's popping pimples and finding out the next time he can actually see his girlfriend. So that's what he's most concerned about right now. This player that the Sens acquired yesterday for Eric Gabranson, that is top of mind for him right now.
I'm going to tell you right now, he's sneaking to see his girlfriend.
Is he?
That's happening.
We don't encourage that sort of behavior.
Not at all.
No. All right. We got lots to get to, so we'll get into the trades. There were, thankfully, if you're into trade deadline day, thankfully the Detroit Red Wings and Washington Capitals kind of rescued the day, although they took the entire day before they unveiled the biggest deal of the day. So we'll chat about that. Certainly get the thoughts of Pierre McGuire when he joins us after 8 o'clock this morning. We had a nice one-on-one. Steve Lloyd did kick off our pregame show last night. with Sens General Manager Pierre Dorion. We'll talk a little bit about what Pierre had to say. If you missed it, we'll replay it for you coming up after 9 o'clock this morning. Pierre weighs in on a number of topics regarding the Sens on trade deadline day and what we're going to see going forward for the rest of this season. So we'll have that for you. We'll get into the NHL story from last night, the end of Jack Campbell's record-setting win streak to start the season as the Habs beat the Leafs. But when we come back, we'll talk about the Sens coming back and beating the Winnipeg Jets on a pretty nice night overall for the Ottawa Senators, capping a pretty good day. We'll come back. We'll chat about that when we come back here on this Tuesday morning. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
So Ian Mendez just tweeted out that he's sour today because you revealed the fact that he's going to be on the show today instead of calling him the mystery co-host like yesterday. So yeah,
you can't do that twice.
These stars, man, they can't be satisfied one way or the other.
See, I told you we should never have set it up like that. Now the expectation is high.
Yes, that's true. All right, so Ian will join us after 7 o'clock this morning. He was in the rink last night to watch the Sens and the Winnipeg Jets. A tidy comeback win for Ottawa last night as they win it by a score of 4-2. A pair of goals from Brady Tkachuk. Evgeny Dadonov had the winner. A bit of a weak one on Connor Hellebuyck. And if you had to guess right, let's say you didn't watch the game last night. Let's say you're just waking up this morning. You went to bed early last night because you had stuff to do today. You woke up this morning. Okay, Ottawa got 4 goals. Tkachuk got 2. Dadonov got 1. I wonder who JR is referring to. Who got the other goal?
Branstrom comes down the wall to hold it in, taking Kopp down to do it. Here's a chance in front. Quick shot and scores! Connor Brown goes 8-8!
Oh, my God.
I mean, he's just ridiculous right now. As the kids would call it, he's on some kind of heater, is Connor Brown. That is 8 games in a row in which he has scored a goal, and that is the longest streak in the National Hockey League since 1997. And a guy named Teemu Selänne. Now, listen, I like Connor Brown. We got him a raise last summer. He should be, Samer and I should be getting some residuals with how much money we made him on his new contract. But I never saw 8 goals in 8 games. And what's he up to now? 14, I believe, on pace for, if it was a full NHL season, to be well over 20 goals this year. And after a very slow start, and we always had lots of fun because when he came on and joined us last summer, he was promoting a new stick. That he was using. Well, the new stick didn't. I don't know that he was doing himself any favors regarding the new stick with his inability to score goals earlier in the season. Now he's scoring from everywhere. Here's TSN's Mike Johnson weighing in on this Brown goal scoring streak.
Well, he's very underrated, but he's not underappreciated, not by the Senators, not by the coaching staff. And you need some veterans, and I'm going to call Connor Brown a veteran now, even though he's relatively young, to help guide these young guys along. And let's make no mistake, not only is it the franchise record for Ottawa, but we checked in the last 30 years, an 8-game goal streak has only been done 10 times by 7 different people, all of whom are in the Hall of Fame. That's the kind of company he's keeping with this hot streak. And now he's not necessarily known to be a goal scorer, though he's a pretty prolific one in junior. He's playing with a lot of confidence and he's doing what he always does, which is all the little things, positionally sound, defensively responsible, two-way game, always working hard every single night, and he's just getting some bounces and some confidence. And I do believe his shot has also improved a little bit, Kels, is that he can shoot it from further out. He's got a little more whip on that stick. I wonder if it's not a little more flexible so that he's able to score from a wee bit further out. But when you see so many of these goals, they are a result of good work, good positioning, and intelligent play, and that's not going away.
There you go. All right, there's Mike Johnson on Connor Brown's goal scoring streak. You know, if we're being fair, for those that didn't see the goal last night, I mean, that was some Connor Hellebuyck should have had that one. That was right in his glove. It was
on fire. Yeah. He couldn't even hold it with the old trap.
It ripped his trapper right off. Took it right into the net. It was shot with such ferocity. No, that was an entirely – there were a couple of – it was weird. It was a weird game last night because Ottawa had – how many breakaways did they end up having? 4 or 5 clean breakaways. And Connor Hellebuyck is like, yeah, well, you know, you're not scoring. Okay, this is a clean breakaway. You have zero chance of scoring. It was like it was easy peasy.
Connor Brown even had one of those breakaways as well.
Exactly, and he made a really easy save at the end of the day. And then 2 of the 4 goals he lets in last night were pretty weak. I mean, the game-winning goal by Dadonov is, I mean, it's one of those ones every goalie probably gets once or twice a year where it's a dump in and the puck is bouncing and it just hits his stick and skitters right in front of him. And before he can get the old I'll admit on it. Dadonov comes in and scores the goal, the game-winning goal. So it was a, you know, you'll take it if you're Ottawa getting a game-winning goal, but it was not Connor. It was an odd night for Connor Hellebuck because it was the best of times and the worst of times. But back to Connor Brown and his eight-game goal scoring streak. You heard Mike Johnson mention the streak that he's on. So over the last 30 years, so now he's chasing down. Now he's chasing down a little bit of history.
Who's next?
Okay, who's next? Who's next at nine?
Yeah.
Jaromir Jagr, Steve Yzerman, Teemu Selanne, and this was a bit odd only because it was in the night. This is from 1990 on, okay? And this guy, I would think, maybe putting a goal-scoring streak in the 80s, but not necessarily the 90s. He's pretty much done. Denny Savard. Denny Savard, Teemu Selanne, Steve Yzerman, Jaromir Jagr all had nine-game goal-scoring streaks, all in the 90s. At 10... Two by Brett Hull, one by Luc Robitaille. 11-game consecutive goal-scoring streak, Teemu Selanne and Mario. And the longest one in the last 30 years is Mario at an even dozen. He scored a goal in 12 straight games, did Mario Lemieux. That is what Connor Brown is chasing right now. So let's just review those names against again. Mario Lemieux, Teemu Selanne, Brett Hull, Luc Robitaille, Jaromir Jagr, Steve Yzerman, Denny Savard.
And Connor Brown's right
Connor
there
Brown.
With them.
It's the next
You don't
name.
Hear Connor McDavid.
Nope.
No.
No.
Nope. You don't hear Austin Matthews. No. No Sidney Crosby. Uh-uh. No, Connor Brown is at the echelon of goal-scoring streaks, at least.
Yeah, so we'll see if he can extend it coming up tomorrow night when they're back home taking on the Winnipeg Jets once more. And then on the weekend, don't forget, rescheduled game Saturday afternoon in Montreal at 4 o'clock. This is one of many games that's been moved around on the Sens schedule of late, so that is the only other game they have this week coming up on Saturday afternoon after the game coming up tomorrow night. All right, Victor Mete made his Ottawa debut last night on the blue line, of course, acquired on waivers. From Montreal, I believe, and I don't think I'm wrong in this, that Ottawa had the second pick. It's all based on where you are in the overall standings. I don't know why Buffalo wouldn't take just a free run at this guy and take a look at him. They traded a bunch of players. They just need warm bodies to get through the year. But regardless, they did not, which comes to the benefit of the Ottawa Senators, who acquired the 22-year-old defenseman, Victor Mete. Hasn't played much this year, but 185 games of NHL experience on defense with Montreal. This has been a down year for him. He kind of lost his job, never really got it back. Fell out of favor in Montreal. So yesterday, two days ago, they put him on waivers. Yesterday, the Sens pick him up. He plays 9:43. So again, he basically arrived in town and put on his gear and skated. So didn't really even know anybody that well. So they didn't overtax him. But here's DJ Smith on his newest blue liner.
You know, he's got good mobility, especially in the neutral zone. He can make plays. And we had the puck more with him and Branny and Shabby did a nice job on the left side tonight, boys.
There you go. So it's kind of come full circle from the playoff run of 2017 under Guy Boucher. Remember the left side defense was all about stepping up and making a hit.
Oh, yeah.
In the neutral zone.
Beauty.
Mark Mathot, Mark Borowiecki, Dion Phaneuf. Those were the three guys, right? Boro ended up getting hurt in the playoffs, but that was the whole system, right? Left side defense steps up in the neutral zone, makes the hit, and funnel everybody to the right side. Now it's the complete opposite. Now the left-hand side of the Sens defense is all the puck movers, the way it's at least constituted right now, with, of course, Thomas Chabot, who played a pile of minutes last night, then Eric Brännström, who moved up and played in Mike Riley's spot alongside Artem Zub, and then Victor Mete slides into the spot beside Josh Brown. So that's the way six defensemen lined up last night as we await the debut of Jacob Bernard Docker sometime probably over the next week or so.
Yeah, I'm thinking after the comments from Pierre Dorion yesterday, that's going to be a little bit later than we think. It's kind of in the hands of DJ Smith when we're going to see JBD. But a tough game day for Victor Mete. I mean, no nap at all, new team, new system, doesn't even get a practice in. Goes in, just plays under 10 minutes, and from what I saw, moved the puck around pretty decent, couple of cycles. I mean, nothing too flashy, no massive mistakes. But I can only imagine for him, it's tough, and I think Christian Willanen could agree with this. It's tough to be on a team that you know doesn't, I don't want to say doesn't like you, but doesn't need you anymore, has moved past you, believes you can't add to the team and help the team out. So I can only think mentally for Victor Mete that he was in the same boat as Willanen was here not too long ago. And to get a fresh start could help him. And like you said, free player, free look, give her a go. I mean, the Sens have got the space for him, have got the room on the roster. So take a look at him and see what you got and Eric Brandstrom as well. It was interesting to see Mete, too, played a little bit with Artem Zub in the second period. So it was nice to see him just kind of move up and down in terms of top four, bottom two pairing of the D, and it was all right.
Yeah. Interesting when you think about it. Victor Mete is 22. He'll turn 23 this year. When they traded him, Christian Willanen had just turned 26. Like, he's 3.5 years younger than Christian Willanen. And you remember when Christian Willanen ended up getting, first of all, didn't get much of an opportunity here in Ottawa. And, you know, some of the fan base were sour about that and wanted to see him get given a chance. At the end of the day, really didn't end up getting one. And you could even argue with the fact that he really deserved much of an opportunity. You know, that's a debate that's come and gone. He's moved on to Los Angeles. But in Victor Mete, they get, I think, a fairly similar kind of defenseman at the end of the day. And he's 3.5 years younger, but he's got 185 games of NHL experience. And Christian Willanen had, 58 or 59?
Really, like, got hammered by injuries early on. Every time you thought Willanen was getting going, finding a stride, kind of learning the pro game, boom, he would be hit by injury, and not just an injury that would keep him out 2-3 games. It would be a serious one for 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's hard to keep up. It's hard to learn that game. And for Victor Mete, he's been able to stay healthy and, log a lot of NHL action right there. So it was kind of strange that the Canadiens decided to move away from him so quickly. But hey, to the advantage of the Sens.
I threw it out there last night based on who was actually in the lineup, because there was no Artie Party. There was only one player who dressed for Ottawa last night who was over 30 years old, and that's Dadonov. So I threw it out there, and I just said, look, I'm too lazy to do this. If somebody wants to actually do the math for me.
Help me out.
Average age of the players who played in the game last night for Ottawa. So the 18 skaters and the one goalie.
And who did somebody come to your aid?
Yes, Galactic at exemption is who tweeted back at me. So what
so
do you think?
Average age?
Average age of the players that played last night. And again, based on this guy or girl's math. But I'm going to go with it because, quite frankly, it's out there.
Yeah, you didn't do it yourself, so let's go with it. 26 and a half.
24.3.
That low,
24.3. Well, think about it. Mete's 22.
Well, I was trying to think through the forwards.
Brandstrom is 21. Yeah. Shabbat is just turned 24. Kachuk and Norris and Stutzla is 19. I mean, all that stuff brings your average down. But, yeah, the average age of the Ottawa Senator players that played in that game last night, according to my friend on Twitter, was 24.31 years old.
All right. A new project for our friends on Twitter to do is the average age of the Sens opening day roster for this season and what they started out with, because we know a lot of the young players did not start with the team. They had to earn their spots. And so you saw the Braden Coburns get in, and of course the good Bransons and all that. So I'd be interested in the contrast from game one to this game here, where they are now.
By the way, I threw out a little web poll yesterday of when they announced that Victor Mete had been claimed on waivers and that they were going to try to get him here to Ottawa to play in the game last night. I threw out a quick web poll. What's the best pit stop between here and Montreal? All right, so I got, I didn't suggest specific places, all right, but I said Rigo, Hudson, Castleman, or I said straight shot like a boss, don't stop. To which a few people who weren't really trying to get kind of the humor of what I was driving at said, you know what, it's a quarantine, so he's not allowed to stop. I understand all that part of it, but what do you, straight shot, by the way, won the deal at 53%, so in the time that you guys drive to Montreal, family-wise, what is the, what's the go-to stop?
There's a couple. There's one on the way to Montreal, and I can't remember. It's that famous hot dog joint that everybody, Belle de Provence, which is right off the highway heading towards Montreal.
Like over the Quebec border?
Over the Quebec border.
In Rigo?
I can't. I don't know what the
town
is.
It's on the right-hand side?
It's on the right-hand side. Yeah. It's right off the highway. Yeah. Coming home, we always, always stop off at that Burger King. Right off the highway, right off the 417
the one where all of the fast food joints are there.
Yes,
and the McDonald's is actually on the other
on
side.
On the other side.
That's I think that's Hudson.
We always stop there.
The one
BK.
With the Harveys and the Tims.
Yes, and there's a pizza joint.
There's
as well.
A Subway across the McDonald's.
Because there's not a lot of BKs around anymore, so it's kind of
there's a reason for that. It's not very good.
You might be right, but. That's always kind of a treat. It's something to look forward to after a busy weekend.
Yeah.
And we're going to stop and get ourselves a Whopper.
Yeah. And then somebody suggested an actual place, and well, there's a couple. There was a poutine joint in Alfred on the Ontario side that that people. There are a couple places that people mentioned. Like, I've never, you know, I've been driving to Montreal for the last 30 years. I haven't even heard of some of these places. And like, what have I been missing all this time? Like, literally, I you know, I have a family, a wife and three daughters. Now they're all a little bit older now, and a female dog. All right. You're not driving anywhere more than 2 hours if you have that many women in your life without having to stop, right?
Absolutely.
Like I'm like Johnny Straight Shot. I will go as long as I possibly can, but
you'll
I got no backing on that. It's like we're literally half an hour out of Ottawa. It's like, can we stop? Of course, yeah, yeah. But
and
anyway,
everybody's got their large Starbucks as well. That's part and parcel
Starbs,
with it too.
Starbs. Yeah. But anyway, there's a couple places mentioned that I'd not even heard of before. So
see, I'm not venturing too far off the highway, so I've got to see it to want to go there, because I don't want to go deep into a village at all. I'm not making this an off route of a road trip. I still want to get to my destination at a timely manner.
Herb's Diner. Herb's Diner was mentioned. Okay, that is its own place. And I said, like, what's up with Herb's Diner?
Yeah,
because somebody just said Herb's, and I thought, what is that kind of place where you actually get like herbs, like medicinals?
Is it 420?
Like, you know, left-handers, that sort of thing. But no, then it came out it was Herb's Diner. And then the poutine shack. Chris Stevenson was big on the poutine shack in Alfred. So,
A poutine, I'll always stop for a nice poutine.
Yeah. There we go. Somebody just texted in. I can't believe Herb's isn't on the list. Well, we didn't go. We, you know, again, I'm like you. It's kind of like what's right off the highway that I can see. And that's normally the fast food joints that, you know, that are everywhere, right? It's the little divey places that maybe you got to get off the beaten track a little bit more that you kind of look for.
Well, get them a little closer to the highway, please, and thank you, because I don't want to dive too deep off the road, and I don't want to get lost either trying to come back. Don't give me a place where there's more than five turns. There's more than five turns. I might as well just stay at the motel as well, and I'll continue my drive the next day.
Anyway, Victor Mete, don't know. I'm guessing he didn't stop. I read
straight shot
said after the game last night he came with his girlfriend. So.
That's nice.
What gave me a little pause for thought that maybe, you know, she's like a lot of women that necessarily might need to stop.
What stuff?
Perhaps couldn't. Anyway, he arrived in town. What do you think about him wearing number 98? That's his junior number. Of course, he played junior in London with Alex Formanton. So that's his junior teammate.
Yeah, I guess they're good buds. Yeah, I'm okay 98 if that's what he wore there. It's a bit of an odd number.
Is that kind of like a goal, like a superstar goal scorer number?
Is it? Have we had any other 98s on the Sens?
Okay, on the Sens, I don't know. You can look that up. Jesse Puljujärvi wears 98. He is not a superstar. He should not be wearing 98, but he is born in 98.
Yeah, 98
is a
hey, look at me number.
Exactly.
I'm a star.
Then people reminded me when I tweeted out that he was going to be wearing 98 is the fact that Connor Bedard, who is the next big thing coming out of the Western Hockey League with the Regina Pats, he's 15 years old. He just ended his junior hockey season as the top scorer in the WHL, and he's 15 years old. He wears number 98. So, again.
Victor Mete, the very first Ottawa Senator
to
go with 98. There have not been a lot of multiple 90s, like only one 91. Dag, look at me. 93, only one. Zibby Zibanejad.
94 is Netcash.
Netcash, you got it.
Yep. 95, Duchesne.
The only one.
Yeah.
97.
97 is that defenseman they got in a trade from
Do you
Rangers?
Need to know the team? Yes.
American guy.
Yes.
Wasn't very good.
Same name as number 90. Same first name as 95.
95. Matt. Yes. Yes. Matt. I don't remember his last name.
Gilroy.
Matt Gilroy. There we go.
And then 98, Victor Mete.
There you go. Okay. Well, I'm okay with that. Anyway,
and you can't wear 99. So 98, it's like I want to wear 99, but I can't. I'm not allowed, so I got to go 98.
98,
it's just not.
It's all right.
It's not as bad as what my thought was going off on JBD's
48.
48.
What was the whole thing about that?
It's just an ugly number.
It's because no one wears it.
Yes.
Danny Briere wore 48. I'm hard-pressed to remember any other 48. I don't mind it because it's kind of original. It's a lower number that's original. Not a lot of people wear it.
Jared Cowan? Wore number 48, that must have been rookie season,
something like that.
That must have been.
And Pinto is wearing 57, is that right?
Yes.
And he wanted 12 or 66, and 66 probably isn't, you shouldn't wear 66.
Hang on. Josh Hosang, was that 66 with
the
Islanders?
66, yeah. You shouldn't
Come
be
on,
wearing that. Yeah, exactly. He shouldn't be wearing 66. And 12 is kind of like, well, JBD won't wear 48 forever. I mean, 24 is available. They traded Christian Willanen. He'll wear 24 when he's an established player. So it's like you wear your kind of your
training, find yourself a place,
your training camp
anywhere.
Number for your first few games, and then next season if you establish yourself, you get your regular number. So JBD, I'm guessing, will be 24. Pinto probably will be 12. Because he wore 22, but and maybe Zaitsev gets moved, so maybe he gets 22 that he wore in North Dakota. And Alex Formanton still wearing 59, but he wore 80 in junior, so maybe he'll go to 80 next season if he's a full-timer.
If I'm Formanton and I'm playing like he's playing, I'm not changing that number. You cannot go and do a number change when you're playing like he's playing. He's playing some good hockey and really making a difference on that PK as well.
Yep. I love the saying from DJ Smith after the game last night, talking about Formanton on the penalty kill. I've never heard this description before. He goes, he makes the other the guys on the other team nervous. Nervous. And I thought that was a pretty good description, because if you're playing a point on the other team on the power play, that guy is so quick and so fast, and if he deflects the puck that's going D to D, he's gone. It's a breakaway.
It's
and
the
how,
decision
by the
making.
Way, did that breakaway that he had last night, I don't remember if it was on a PK or just, how was that not a penalty shot?
Oh, getting hooked up on.
He was like 3 feet behind the guy, and the guy literally, he flicks his stick, I don't remember which defenseman it was, and hits his hands, and that affects the shot. He doesn't get a good shot off.
And like, the ref calls a slash.
And it's a slashing penalty. It was ridiculous. Like, I'm the last guy to say we should be giving out more penalty shots, because the shootout has
yes,
wrecked the penalty shot. But when it's as obvious as that one, call a penalty shot. That was a penalty shot.
And he's
crazy.
Got the mojo going from the last PK breakaway that he had against the Leafs. He's got that going. He's got a move now. So, because we've seen plenty of Alex Formanton breakaways that haven't ended up with the puck in the back of the net. I think he's got the confidence going. I want to see that penalty shot be called and him get that opportunity.
Anyway, he got foiled, unfortunately, did Alex Formanton. But it mattered not, because the Sens bounce back from 2-0 down to come back to win 4-2. We'll talk about it more throughout the course of the morning. And, of course, Pierre McGuire will join us after 8 o'clock. Somebody just texted in and said, is Puljujärvi wearing 13 now? Did he change from 98, or did he change from 13 to 98? I'm trying to think now. I just remember 13 doesn't, now that somebody texted in and said 13, now I'm thinking, okay, maybe it is, maybe it did change from 98.
It's hard to look at anybody else on the Edmonton Oilers other than McDavid and Draisaitl.
Yeah.
And Darnell Nurse, because he's fun to watch.
Somebody said that Matt Hunwick wore 48 as well. Yeah, it's a select few that have worn that number. All right, 6:43, enough about uniform numbers. We went down a rabbit hole there. We'll take a break. Ian Mendez again will join us after 7 o'clock this morning. Simmer's off this week, and Pierre McGuire after 8. When we come back, we'll talk about the trade deadline day yesterday, the one kind of big deal. Other than that, it was a lot of fairly typical depth player for late-round draft pick around the rest of the National Hockey League. So we'll get into some of that when we return right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. 10 o'clock this morning, Simmer's off this week. Sens win 4-2 over Winnipeg. They'll play the Jets again coming up tomorrow night. We'll talk about all the trades yesterday in just a second, but wanted to bring you up to date on some breaking basketball news from late last night could have a devastating impact on Canada's team at the upcoming Summer Olympics in men's basketball. Let's take you to the closing moments of last night's game between Golden State and Denver.
Under a minute to go. Murray got hit, and this is going to be Golden State ball.
No.
And Murray's down and hurt. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. Oh, Jamal Murray is in massive pain.
There you go. That was the play-by-play call in the final minute of last night's game of Canadian basketball star Jamal Murray. And again, it was as he was driving to the basket, his knee just kind of, it was a no contact, just kind of buckled. He came down. It was one of those ones where you kind of know, as a sports fan, you've seen enough of these over the years when the guy immediately grabs it and then does the old kind of the worm, as it were, along the ground, kind of shimmying like a snake. That's how much pain that he's in. So he was able to hobble off. They were offered a wheelchair to go off. There was no update after the game, but that looks like a significant knee injury or leg injury for Jamal Murray. And again, don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but potentially could impact Canada if they were to qualify and if he were to play on the team for the upcoming Summer Olympics in men's basketball.
His reaction reminded me of Aaron Ekblad just a week ago when he fell awkwardly to the ice after a collision in the corner and just smacking the ice, and you can audibly hear, I think it's broken. That was Jamal Murray was just smacking the court, and he knew right away that it was serious.
Yeah, it was not good. So we'll keep our eye on that story. Hopefully get an update later on this morning. But Jamal Murray looks like he suffered a significant injury in Denver's game last night with Golden State. Okay, 6:51. We'll get to the trades in just a second, but with the trade deadline come and gone now for a, I guess this will be the fourth straight year. What is a tradition here on the morning show when the trade deadline comes and goes and there are no more trades to be made, no more roster changes other than maybe guys getting called up from the minors and going away. It is the return of, do we have our intro?
Are you ready?
And now,
for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world,
this is the main event of the evening.
Let's get ready to rumble!
It's time for the TSN 1200 Draft Lottery Simulator.
All right, is that taking you back? It's back again, kids, at a new time. Normally we did it last year, I think, going into the 8 o'clock news and just before Pierre Maguire, but of course we've got our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute kind of locked in there, so we're going to do it right after 7:30. It will be edition number one, and tell you what, we're going to let Ian Mendez was disappointed yesterday that when he jumped on board, he was not able to spin the wheel of meat.
Yeah.
So he is going to get the initial play, and he'll be initially responsible for the first of this season draft lottery simulator for the Ottawa Senators, who, despite the win last night, Anaheim got a win last night as well. Ottawa has the second worst points percentage in the National Hockey League, and so again, they stand a very good chance at getting a very high pick, maybe first overall.
I'm sorry, Ian, but he better not screw this up.
No, it really, this is the template. This is how it all starts. It's probably how it's all going to turn out. So if Mendez, and again, they've changed the draft lottery rules. The most you can fall now, I believe, is two spots. But don't forget, Seattle is guaranteed to have the third best lottery odds. They're locked into number three. So if Ottawa, for instance, has the second worst or the second best odds or second worst odds, whatever you want to call it, the most they can fall is to number four. But if they have the third worst odds, Seattle actually jumps in there. So then they're actually the fourth worst odds, which means they can slide all the way to six. So in other words, this there should be a bit of a turtle race here between Ottawa and Anaheim for that second last, because that actually it's an extra spot that you can fall because of the Seattle Kraken.
I didn't even think about that.
There you go. Now you know the rest of the story.
Now I'm second guessing the kind of lineup I want to put in here to end the regular season.
You want to reacquire Braden Coburn?
Yes,
back in the lineup
and start him and play him 30 minutes, please.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we'll have that for you coming up after 7:30 this morning. The do not accept any imitation original TSN 1200 Draft Lottery Simulator edition number one. Coming up this morning. All right, trade deadline day yesterday. Ottawa just made the one deal. Erik Gudbranson goes to Nashville for a seventh rounder, along with a minor league defenseman. Of course, they may have made the two trades the night before for Mike Riley and Braden Coburn. All of the draft picks they got, by the way, were either 2022 picks or 2023 picks. So not a busy day for Pierre Dorion and company, but that doesn't mean he wasn't busy on the phones, and he was asked if perhaps laying some groundwork for trades down the road.
Without saying too much, a lot over the last few days, we've had a lot of discussions with other general managers about potential things that could happen after the season.
Yeah, the so-called hockey trades, as opposed to yesterday, which turns out to be a lot of, again, depth players for late draft picks. A lot of the discussions that transpired over the last few days have been, hey, listen, we can't make this trade now. You know, you're gunning for the playoffs or whatever. We're out of the playoffs. But depending on how your playoff goes and how our offseason goes or whatever, or expansion draft issues or whatever, why don't we revisit a trade between some of the players we're discussing? So that's a lot of the discussions that happened the last few days, apparently between Pierre Dorion and his colleagues, his 30, I guess, one others, because Ron Francis of Seattle would also be involved, his 31 other colleagues around the National Hockey League.
I don't like that tease. You wet my whistle. I want to know what possibly could be working on, what player names are being thrown out there that are currently on the Sens, maybe prospects that are in Belleville, and what you're looking to move and groove to in terms of improving that blue line for next season.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you think about Ottawa, like if you think about existing players on the team right now, that are either here or in Belleville, that you probably wouldn't mind if you didn't have them next year. Probably Evgeny Dadonov's $5 million contract.
But they're going to be the hardest ones to move.
Exactly, exactly. Chris Tierney is another one, right? He's getting paid $4.2 million next season. He's got another year on his contract. I mean, there's just not going to be Dadonov. He's got what? He's got 12 or 13 goals, so he'll come in at a, you know, he prorated. He would come in at around, you know, a little over 20 goals this year, which is not that far off what he was scoring down in Florida, but he just has not been that impactful.
It's the eye, right? It's the eye test,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean,
it's...
there's the odd game where he stands out, but for the most part, I mean, last night is a perfect example of Dadonov, right? He scored the game-winning goal. He got a goal, which is what he's paid to do. But can you remember maybe more than maybe one other play he made the entire night last night? Like, he's just not very impactful on the games. So that would be my criticism.
Same thing the game before against the Leafs. You didn't notice him hardly throughout the game, and then he collects the puck, gets some speed, goes around the net, passes it out in front, and Connor Brown scores to extend that streak at 7 at that time.
Right.
It's not consistent.
Yeah.
It's definitely not what I think anybody thought when they would see this season when the Sens acquired him.
And Chris Tierney, of course, was signed to a 2-year deal last offseason. When they did that, it was kind of like that was interesting. They bought a year of his unrestricted free agency when they did that. But for whatever reason, his production has really lagged this year. I thought last night was a perfect example on that 2-on-1 that he had of the lack of confidence I think he has. It's a 2-on-1. The defenseman kind of slides and takes away the pass. I think he wants to pass because he doesn't have any confidence. He wants to pass. He can't pass because the guy's sliding. So he waits till the guy slides past, stops, but then he's right on top of Hellebuck and he's got nowhere to shoot at that point. And it was kind of like when you're indecisive and you're lacking confidence, that's exactly what happens in situations like
that. That's where you need the crowd. You need the crowd to shout, shoot, yeah. Shoot. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, maybe I'll do that. I don't have anybody to pass to.
Yeah, so I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot of demand for like a Chris Tierney type of player unless you're taking a contract back that's got some money on it. But,
well,
I mean, what's going to be the spot for him as well, right? When you think about it, it's Norris for sure, right? They have pretty much said that Colin White is a center for the time being. We don't know what's going to be happening with Timmy Stützle. Then you've got Tierney and Shane Pinto.
And Shane Pinto.
Right, if he makes the NHL. But maybe they look at him as probably starting in Belleville next season. So center ice is still a question mark. And maybe for that reason you want to hang on to Tierney to at least start the year. And maybe he has some value next year at the trade deadline when there's only a couple of months left on his contract.
Well, you're hoping that next year, if you're the Sens, you're not a seller at this point. You're hoping that you're a moderate buyer because you're definitely not going to be selling the farm because you're not a Stanley Cup contender next season. But you're hoping that you're at least within earshot of a playoff spot, and you're just looking to tinker with the lineup a little bit for a playoff push for then and maybe a little bit in the future for the following year.
Yeah. Anyway, that was some of the discussions that apparently Pierre Dorion had, because unlike other years when he was trading Mark Stone and Matt Duchene, and last year it was Pageau. Like the last two or three years, Pierre Dorion has been one of the most popular general managers around because he had some good players to trade. This year, not so much. This year he did what a lot of other general managers do, which is kind of peddling over-the-hill veterans or veteran players, shouldn't say over-the-hill, but veteran players who are depth pieces on teams that are going to the playoffs and getting low draft picks in return.
And I guess it's sticking around to watch the team, because after the trade deadline, the MO for Pierre was to head out onto the road and start some scouting, a little European trip, and then head out in North America, and that obviously is not going to happen this year.
Nope, it's all about Zoom, baby. All right, we'll take a break. Latest news from 580 CFRA. We'll run down a busy scoreboard, including details on the Sens 4-2 win over the Jets. When we come back, Ian Mendez will jump in for the next couple of hours. Ian, of course, our former colleague, now with The Athletic. We'll get to his thoughts on last night's game, the trade deadline, and much more. Who is now the favorite based on the trade deadline to come out of the Canadian division and some of the other divisions? Yeah, I don't want to talk about trade deadline winners and losers, but what was maybe the most significant deal of the day yesterday? Was it the Anthony Mantha trade, or was there another one over the last 2 or 3 days, it was maybe a bigger one? Let us know what you think. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. We'll take a break and come back with Ian when we return, along with TSN 1200's $1,000 minute just before 8 on TSN 1200.